Well, it's a rainy night, but it's good to be able to be in here together and worship our Lord. We are going to be studying from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, so open up to that passage. And I'm going to go ahead and confess that this lesson is probably going to disappoint you. It's just the way it is. And just about any book you read on this subject is probably going to disappoint you. And that's why people that write fanciful interpretations of this text that don't disappoint people sell a lot of books but are probably wrong. Because this passage is going to remain somewhat mysterious even after we study it. And for those who have studied this passage in-depthly for long periods of time and know it much better than I do, there's still a lot of mystery about it. And so I don't want you to think that I'm going to fully explain it or that you're going to leave with a full identification of who the man of sin is or the man of lawlessness. And so let's begin looking at this passage, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 through 12, which speaks about the man of lawlessness or the man of sin as the New King James Version rendered it. Probably the better term there that involves a textual critical issue, of whether it should be sin or lawlessness, and it probably should be lawlessness rather than sin, and that's why the newer versions translate it lawlessness rather than sin. And there's really not a lot of difference in the actual meanings of the word, but probably Paul wrote lawlessness. So I will probably refer to him more as the man of lawlessness, so there won't be any confusion. Let's understand, first of all, that there is a historical context to our study. In Acts chapter 17, Paul goes to Thessalonica, and at Thessalonica, he is going to run into some persecution. And he's actually going to have to be sent out of town because the Jewish brothers there are very much against the preaching of Christianity, and they have stirred up a lot of trouble, and they even arrest some people, and Paul and them have to leave and go on down to Berea. But what is important to note from Acts 17 is that the church is established, but it's established in the midst of some persecution and some trials. And then he writes, shortly after that, he writes 1 Thessalonians. And Paul had not been gone long from Thessalonica when he writes 1 Thessalonians. And the main subject of 1 Thessalonians is going to be the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Apparently there had been some misunderstandings related to this coming, and many of the Thessalonian brethren had thought that Christ's coming was very imminent, so imminent that many of them, it appears, had stopped working and were waiting upon the second coming, even so to the point that this was causing them to be gossips and busybodies and not and being involved in things that they should not be involved in because of their idleness. So Paul says, get back to work, live your life, live a quiet life, and know that the day of the Lord is going to come like a thief in the night, but your job is to be prepared. And so chapter 5, he talks about comforting one another and being sober and vigilant for the coming of the Lord, which we do not know when is going to happen. It's going to be like a thief in the night, but you're not going to miss out on it. When he comes, the dead in Christ will rise first, and then everybody else will go up to meet him in the air, chapter 4. Well, apparently there was still some confusion. So Paul, we believe, pretty shortly afterwards, maybe as much as 6 months or so, will write 2 Thessalonians. And that's the subject of our study, 2 Thessalonians. And once again, the main focus of 2 Thessalonians is going to do with the second coming of Jesus and about Christ's coming. And so he talks about, chapter 1, their faith, and he encourages them to be steadfast, verse number 3. And then he begins by, in verse number 9 and following, he's talking about, for they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. And so Paul's going to talk about some things that are unknown to us, but were clearly known by the original reader, because Paul had taught these things when he was there. And so note, Paul says, beginning in our text, verse 1 and 2, "Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together," talking about us coming and us being gathered together with the Lord in the air, "we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed." Apparently, they were once again troubled, maybe fearing this time that they had missed out upon the second coming. "Either by spirit or by spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us." It seems that someone had circulated a letter or false report, had ascribed the name of Paul to it, and Paul says, "This seems to be from us, but it's not from us." And he says, "You're troubled about this, saying that you have missed out on the second coming," the parousia, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says, "To the effect that the day of the Lord has come." And that's properly translated, "The Lord has come." In other words, that they missed out upon.